This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Steve Forbes, chairman and CEO of Forbes Media. His new book is How Capitalism Will Save Us, Why Free People and Free Markets Are the Best Answer in Today's Economy. You'll also remember that he's a two-time Republican presidential candidate from 1996 and the year 2000. Mr. Forbes, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
You've obviously written a book discussing the virtues, as you see it, of capitalism right now, whether it's politicians here in Washington or sometimes we see on TV or in the newspaper, they blame capitalism. They say there wasn't enough regulation, not enough oversight. People got greedy. We got predatory lenders, Bernie Madoff and those types. And it's proof that if you free up the market too much, you're going to get big problems. Explain to our listeners why that conventional wisdom is wrong as you see it.
Well, those excesses were the result of an economy that was distorted and nearly destroyed by government policy. Take the housing bubble. You could not have had a housing bubble, and my new book explains this, without the Federal Reserve printing so much money and keeping interest rates at artificially low levels. The fuel wouldn't have been there for it. The bubble was made worse by Fannie and Freddie, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, government creations, guaranteeing up to $1.5 trillion of junk mortgages. The government made other mistakes, regulatory mistakes like mark-to-market accounting, which nearly destroyed bank capital and something we're still recovering from today. So if the government hadn't made these fundamental errors, you never could have had the excesses that we saw in the last 2 or 3 years. But as always happens in these things, Greg, when the government makes big mistakes on the economy, they always blame free markets when they're the true villains.
And of course, now we have different pieces of legislation that some say would threaten the capitalistic system. Let's start first and foremost with this legislation coming out of the Financial Services Committee called the Consumer Financial Protection Act. Others call it the Too Big to Fail Act, which would basically give the government more power, as they phrase it, to make sure that we don't see a repeat of late 2008, early 2009. There would be more oversight. Government would be able to determine which institutions are failing, and they could step in unilaterally. What would be the impact of that?
Well, just look at the record. The government had regulation over the banks in this country, and look what a miserable job they did. So having done a miserable job in managing the country's money, letting the dollar get debased, trashed, having not practiced oversight of the banks that they already have under their purview, their punishment is we give them more power than ever before. They're now going to tell banks and institutions how much they can pay people. I mean, talk about rewarding failure. This is the ultimate example of it.
In terms of if this passes, do you sense that there could be so much government involvement here that it would stifle capitalism, or will capitalism always find a way to get through the obstacles?
Well, capitalism, entrepreneurs, free market people do find ways of getting around some hideous obstacles. But as we saw in the 1970s, sometimes those obstacles, those burdens become overwhelming. And we saw it with inflation, high interest rates. We're seeing it today. Small businesses are still having a hard time getting credit. And having the government have more control over the credit system, we saw what they did with Fannie and Freddie. They took over the mortgage market, debased and distorted the mortgage market, no down payment mortgages, goes against all experience in free market banking, that you have a 10-20% down payment on a mortgage. Both Republicans and Democrats said, hey, no down payment. And guess what? Those mortgages are defaulting. If you look at people who've made a down payment on their mortgages, the default rate is much, much less. So the government ignores fundamental lessons and plays politics with everything. It can't help it.
Let's talk about some other issues that others are focusing on a lot right now, namely health care and energy. Starting with health care, those in favor of the Pelosi plan that could be voted on later this week and the Reid plan that's being bandied about in the Senate say the private system hasn't worked. Private insurers are greedy. They kick people off their plans when they get sick. They discriminate against pre-existing conditions and so forth. Whereas the free marketers will say that, again, as you mentioned before with the financial institutions, there's already too much interference from Washington. How do you see it, and what's the best way to go forward?
Well, we don't have real free enterprise in health care. We have the government doing programs which are distorting it the way Freddie and Fannie did. And you see it in Medicare and Medicaid. They're underpaying for services. Therefore, if you have a private plan, you're subsidizing Medicare and Medicaid to the tune of $90 billion a year. We've seen in other countries where they have these kind of government programs, government take over the health care system, or effectively taking it over. Look at outcomes. Most cancers, you have a much better outcome here in the United States than you do in other countries, including Canada and Germany. Same thing with heart disease and other life-threatening illnesses. You have a far better chance of recovery here. And so we need more free enterprise. We should allow individuals to shop around the country for health insurance, give individuals the same kind of tax treatment they give businesses in buying health insurance, allowing small businesses to easily pool together to buy health insurance to make it more affordable. How about some tort reform so you don't have a defensive medicine being practiced all the time? Those kind of basic fundamental reforms, and you'll see a positive turnaround in health care. Government can't manage it. They've demonstrated that time and time again.
Are those the key ingredients to bringing costs down? I know that's one of the major parts of this debate. You mentioned being able to shop across state lines, pooling together. Will that fundamentally lower costs across the board, or are other steps necessary?
Those would be first good steps. Removing some obstacles in health savings accounts and the like would help as well. But there are two ways you can deal with health care. You can bring costs down by the way the government would do it. That is by rationing it. That's what you see in other countries. If, for example, in England you need kidney dialysis, if you're above the age of 60, forget it. You're always going to be in the back of the line. So you have government rationing, or you have the entrepreneurial free enterprise marketplace where if there's a demand for services, entrepreneurs will find a way to provide those services at more and more affordable costs, like LASIK surgery for the eyes in real terms. For the conventional surgery you could get 10 years ago, costs a third less in real terms today. So let a little more entrepreneurialism into health care, and we will get more for less, as we've done everywhere else.
Let's look at energy now. Again, two very different schools of thought here. One says the big oil and energy companies have been too greedy over the years. Others say if you get government control, our energy bills are going through the roof and we're going to be unilaterally disarming ourselves economically because our manufacturing base and so forth will be destroyed. What's the smart way to go here from a capitalist perspective?
Well, the huge distortions you see in energy, especially the oil prices going all over the place, is what happens when government trashes the dollar. You know, if oil companies themselves are so powerful, why in the 1980s did oil go from $40 a barrel to $10 a barrel? I saw the same thing in the late 1990s. Or this last summer, a year ago this summer, oil went from $147 to $30 a barrel. So when the government gets involved in these things, you get wild prices, distorted prices. When we had a sound and stable dollar, you didn't get this kind of volatility and huge increases in oil prices, quite the opposite. So again, when the government mucks things up, it always blames free markets. But this is not free markets at work when government trashes the dollar and makes these other distortions like Fannie and Freddie and massive subsidies for Medicare to disguise its true costs.
And Mr. Forbes, on our last question here, what's the path as you see it to reestablishing more of a free market approach? We've obviously seen a lot of government intervention, really from administrations and congresses from both parties. So how do you reverse it? What specific policies are needed to free things up for folks to make the most of this?
Well, that's a point we make in the book, How Capitalism Will Save Us, is that both the Democrats and Republicans have been guilty here. First and foremost, the most immediate thing, Greg, is to get a sound and stable dollar so you can trust the money once again so you can get sound investment, less speculation. Reducing tax rates and simplifying the tax code so people can take more risks again and you don't punish success. A little bit of a more real free enterprise in health care so people have more choices and can control those resources and not third parties like insurers or the government and distorting the market. You do those basic kinds of reforms and you'll see this economy come roaring back, a flat tax, simplified tax code. Again, what government doesn't understand or prefers not to understand, since they want power more than they want money, is that when you have a simplified tax code, you have a sound dollar, the government gets more revenues. But what they hate is they don't have the power with those revenues. And that's what we see at play here. Government wants power.
Real quick, is there any way to read in a desire for more capitalism in today's election results?
Well, I think what you're going to see in the election results is that people are saying we're very upset by the reckless spending in Washington. They feel the country is going off the financial rails. They feel very uneasy about what's happening, government taking over health care. So people may not like the word capitalism, but they do like free markets, free people. They like the idea of having more control over our lives, and I think that's what you're going to see playing out today. Like in the 23rd District in New York, that was a We the People movement, getting the conservative, Mr. Hoffman, as a viable candidate. That wasn't party bosses. That wasn't party leaders. That was the people rising up and saying, we're upset by what's happening, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Mr. Forbes, a fascinating discussion. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Steve Forbes, Chairman and CEO of Forbes Media. The book is How Capitalism Will Save Us, Why Free People and Free Markets Are the Best Answer in Today's Economy. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.